Again, I want to say hi to everybody, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching, listening through the internet. God bless you all. I want to do something before we start here today. I want you to take a deep breath and hold it in. Don't let it out yet. And when I say now, you let it out with a sigh of relief. Let it out. That felt good. Let's do that again. Now, in. Hold it in. Let it out. Now, let me tell you, that's the way I felt, that sigh of relief after we sung that song at the beginning, the praise and worship. Because you guys don't have an idea how much of that I get nervous when I have to play music and stuff like that. Even more nervous than preaching, because preaching comes at like a second nature to me. But there are other things that we can feel relief of if we're not slaves of. And today, in the start of our worship, our stewardship campaign, that I believe is going to be so, so amazing, I want you to think about this. I want you to get ready to go on a journey, somehow like a hike. Are you ready for this? We're going to be in this journey for 4 weeks. Amen? 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 So let's make believe we're putting our backpacks on. Go ahead. Strap it on. Get ready. Get ready. Get excited. Because we're going on a good, good, good run here today. Okay? Today's first theme for our stewardship campaign is entitled Naming Our Idols. Today we look at Jesus' words on the holy habit of giving as a spiritual discipline. You know, I was actually thinking about what time, what age group, what time in life is it easier, or is it most that people give the most? And it's funny how I came to this conclusion, because somebody or some people may debate this. The conclusion I came to was that the time or lifetime that people give the most is childhood. Hello? Somebody say hello.
Hello.
Okay, now why? Now, first of all, I have to think that don't you love those children and the way that somehow they can give without thinking? And I know that I'm just talking about just before they're caught up in all this self-centeredness, just before they're caught up in learning what greed is, because kids don't necessarily know what this is in the first place. But they are naturally giving people. They share things. I love the giving spirit of a little girl. I'm going to let you in on a little story I saw that was pretty funny. But a little girl who was 2 years old, who was who had broken her arm, and had been given a little tea set as a get-well gift. And Daddy was babysitting her one afternoon. It was a wonderful and beautiful thing that happened. As he was babysitting, when the little girl, the two-year-old girl, brought him a little cup of tea. How many of you girls had your little tea kits or whatever when you were small? The little girl brought Daddy a little cup of tea, which, well, it just had water in it. She was only 2 years old. Now, when his wife came home, he called her and says, "Watch this, dear. This is the cutest thing ever. This is beautiful. Watch this." And sure enough, the young, beautiful girl brought Daddy another cup of tea, and he oohed. Somebody ooh. Somebody ah. He oohed and ahed. "You saw that, honey? Isn't that cute?" And all of a sudden, the wife said, "Did it ever occur to you, my love, what's the only place in this house where she can reach water?" And by the way, we do not have a goldfish, a fish tank. You kind of know where this is going. It's funny. Today, just wanted to see if you guys had the sense of humor today, see? We're talking about something that some people, I don't know, get a little uncomfortable with. Whenever we talk about giving, it could make some people mad. It could make some people glad. Well, you know what? It could make some people sad. And my hope is not to try to pry money out of your pockets. That's not my job here this morning. My hope is another. But to look at Jesus' warning and teaching about money for holy living, and even to appreciate that it's always better to give. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus taught that our attitude toward the material reveals our true spirituality. This is why Jesus now turns us to the holy habit of giving. To show us, first of all, that material treasure, my friends, it can entangle us. Did you know that material things can entangle us? And he's trying to tell us this through this gospel reading that we had this morning. If you go to verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth," somebody say moth,
"moth,
and rust," somebody say rust,
rust
destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. What is Jesus trying to tell us? What is Jesus trying to show us about moths, first of all? How many of you remember moths? Yeah. Are they still around? Now, I ask you because there's been a whole lot of things that has happened that we actually can get away from them a little, right? And it used to be that they had moths all around, and they used to come over and mess up your clothing. You didn't know the constructions of houses back there was not that tight. And the wind and the dust and everything would penetrate a lot easier. And the more clothes you had, the more loss you had of your treasure. Now, sometimes our material things get messed up, and we really are entangled to it. And then what about rust? Remember rust? How many of you have seen rust on something that you really liked a lot? I remember when my dad gave me my first bicycle. Now, remember, we live in the coast here. We live in Long Island, and I used to live right in front of the beach. My first bicycle. How many remember your first bicycle? And I remember that I used to shine that thing like crazy, all right? If I went out, when I came back, I would shine it because I would like it to continue to stay that way. But after a little time, I got a little, what? Lazy. Somebody say lazy.
Lazy.
Sometimes we like to be lazy. Come on, right? Hello?
Amen.
Sometimes. But we get lazy and we get careless and things start to deteriorate. Did I say that word right? And if I didn't, you understood what I was trying to say, right? Okay, good. We have to keep up the maintenance. And that goes very, very true for when it comes to our spiritual lives and our life stewardship, my friends. Amen? Now, that rust on iron was not easy to come by on Jesus' day, by the way. And since it wasn't very easy to get anything, all the utensils had to be cleaned regularly. Now, if you take your silverware or your spoons and all that kind of stuff and you clean them, but then you put them in there without drying and you do that too often, what's going to happen to that? It could rust. It'll fade. It'll get ugly. You don't want to get ugly, do you? Amen? How many want to get ugly here today? No. And God wants you to be pretty, beautiful. You are beautiful. Somebody go ahead and tell your neighbor you're beautiful. Now, Jesus said another thing. Jesus said, thieves break in and steal. And we have thieves visiting us in our daily lives and in our spiritual lives and in our stewardship lives every single day. If this sounds more like a study than a sermon, great. That's what I want it to be. My friends, how much effort do we put into protecting ourselves from thieves? Think about it. Have you ever thought about the alarm systems that we have all over the place? We even have one at church. I'm pretty sure sometime, churches could stay open all night. Huh? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Houses could stay open all night. Amen. And some might still be open all night, depending on where you live, but we still don't have the same, you know, feeling that it's okay. We can do that, and there's not going to be a problem. Locks, alarms, security alarms. We close our garages even. How many used to close their garages way back? Things have changed. But I got to tell you, another theft money can take from us is time. Stealing away our time. Now, Kathy and Tom put up a projection of the 10% of 24 hours, which is 2.4
hours.
Now, if you think, 24 hours is a lot of time. Now, you're not always awake throughout those 24 hours, but you are alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you are alive only because there is a creator who permits you to be alive. Somebody say amen. So if that person, the fount, the resource that gives you all that you have, gives you 24 hours of a day, can you just at least give him 2.4 hours of your time? And how are we about to do this in this busyness? Because we are, Montana, we are New Yorkers. I'm a New Yorker now. And I'm busy. And I have a lot of things to do as a pastor. And I do forget sometimes and stuff like that. But I should not forget my responsibility and my stewardship of my life toward God. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to have to be sitting down and praying for 2 hours, 2.4 hours, or doing that. But you know, we're talking about something different here today. We're talking about a lifestyle of worship where you can be praying anytime. You're taking a shower and you're praying to God and you're thanking God of His blessings upon your family. That's praying. You're in the car and you see somebody come by and you're praying as you see people come by. You're praying for your church. You're praying for whoever pops up in your mind. You're giving God the glory. You sing a song. That's prayer too. That's a way to cling. And once you know it, you're not just giving 2.4. You're giving Him a lifestyle of worship. Hallelujah. That keeps you grounded, that keeps you closer to God, and all of a sudden you're so excited because the Holy Spirit just takes over you, and you don't even notice. It's just like when you're with a friend and it's such a good conversation, and you're talking and talking and talking, and all of a sudden, oh, look at the time. Time has gone so fast. Because we're having a great time. Why do we think that being in God's presence has to be something we have to struggle with when the Creator only wants to bless us in such a special way? All that you can take out of this opportunity to be with God, the time, is something that you really have to realize that will help you in your life in whatever you do. Now, I know I should keep going, but I'm getting a little excited here, you know? Now, pretty soon, if we let the world and time and the responsibilities overtake our time for God, we don't leave much for God. It's like giving Him pennies of our time when we should be giving Him the highest priority of our life and our time. And then we come to church. Oh, I love you all. And then we come to church. And some people just coming to church and the process of coming to church, either by their negative past experiences or whatever, come to church skeptical. Skeptical. And they are tough-hearted because they're entangled by something else. Money. Somebody say dinero. What is that?
Dinero.
It's money. Dinero. For some people, money has stuck more firmly than a tongue on a flagpole, a cold, cold flagpole. Stuck. We can't think about anything else. We don't have peace. We just think about the bills. We just think about what needs to be paid. We just think about how much we have and how much we don't. And that is not the peace of God. Hallelujah. It entangles us. It owns us all of a sudden. Haven't you seen some men with chains on their wallets? Have you? I've seen it. I'm not kidding. No. Chains on their wallets. I used to see Grandpa with a chain watch. Well, that's okay. But, oh, there goes the wallet. Hanging from the man's belt buckle. A wallet that connects them to their belt loops. The sad thing is that I've seen some other people, men and women, that have some kind of chain connected to their hearts. Money connected to their hearts, where they're not able to give anymore because they're too worried. And they think about giving as just money. And let me just clarify this. I just spoke about time. We're not just talking about the stewardship of money, but the stewardship of our entire lives. The sign of a saved person is the love for the least, my friends. The love for the lost. The love for those in need of hope. And Jesus said in the end of times, all the nations of the world will be gathered before him, and he will separate them into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. I don't know which one of them you want to be, but I would rather be a sheep. Now, I come from Puerto Rico, and we have sheep and goats. It's different. It's a whole lot different. And we have to understand that goats sometimes jump from too much, you know? They're a little stubborn. Sheep have to be led. And God wants you to let him lead you. Let us continue in our time together thinking about how do we store our material treasures up in heaven? How do we do something like that? Well, I gotta say that we just switch banks. We switch banks from an earthly realm to a heavenly realm. How can we move our balance sheets? How can we move our balance sheet from one bank down the street to the one up in heaven, my friends? We're talking about investment here. Yes, we are. We're talking about investment. We can't take anything that we have with us. Isn't there a musical or something like that that goes that way? You can't take it with you, or a song or something like that? But Jesus is saying you can send it ahead. It's an investment on eternity. That's a real investment. When we live giving lives, it's a real investment. When we give our time, when we give of our treasure, there is no burglar that is going to get into that. It's rust proof. It's moth proof. It's corrupt proof. You don't need the FDIC for protection. And it has some really good interest, by the way. And every time you drop an offering, you're going to have an opportunity to do that a little later today. Every time you drop an offering, you can whisper it silently. See you in heaven. Hallelujah. Every time you invest, every time you invest in giving, it's a great investment, my friends. Today we think about the folks that were here once. They have passed on to be with God in heaven. Folks who are now gone, who have worked sacrificially to build this building, they were here before us. And with this, God reminds us that they are still drawing interest in heaven for the things they did while they were here. And they made it count, my friends. The question today is, are you spiritually minded or materially minded? Can you name your idols today? The ones that are keeping you entangled? The ones that are just getting in the way of your relationship with God? Don't let this world enslave you, my friends, and with this I will finish. Our giving reveals which God we truly worship. It says in that gospel reading that we heard this morning, specifically in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. My friends, Jesus is saying someone or something owns us all. What is it? The two choices are God or mammon, heaven or earth. Which world owns you? Which world determines the way you live? My friends, look into the eyes of the pastor. Which world determines the way you give? What is your focus? The world's advice, it could be pretty tempting. You cannot, though, serve both God and money. So who do you listen to? When you decide to give, who do you listen to? When you decide to do things, who do you listen to? Where's your focus, my friends? Do you serve Lord or mammon? Do we trust ourselves to provide, or do we trust God to provide? This is the church of God, my friends. We serve the God of each and every one that is here today. He is the provider. You cannot do it alone. And I challenge you, my friends. I challenge you to change a little bit. To change the way we are giving. And I'm not just talking about money. Change the way we are giving and set up a good investment in heaven. An amazing blessing. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.